Blog Talk Radio.
Heaven could be a wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me a very wonderful, supernatural, special friend of the same.
First of all, could you introduce yourself to the audience? Tell us about yourself, and then we can talk a little about the book and bring some of the folk in that's on the line here who want to share their insights on the book.
Well, I'm, of course, Jay Offer, Pastor Jay Offer of Harvest Crusade Ministries in Glen Burnie. We worship every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at 508 Aqua Heart Road. People recognize it, and the signage says that it's the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but we worship on Sunday. In their absence, and we invite you to come out and join us. Local resident here in Glen Burnie, native of Washington, D.C., and I'm honored to be here on the air with you, Deacon Farr.
Sir, amen. I appreciate you for taking time with your schedule also. And I do thank you for holding on. Because, you know, 5 minutes of silence is a terrible thing in radio because nobody can't see you. But amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let me begin. We have a couple people on the line. Again, if you called in at 646-668-2636, press 1 on your keypad, and we know that you want to share your insights on the book. But, Pastor, let me start with you. Tell us, how did the Sanctified Word come about?
Well, you know, in 2011, when Harvest started, I sought the Lord, and his instruction to me was I needed to help to provide a foundation for the members of Harvest to begin to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And I just started writing. Every day I would write a devotion to them. For 21 days leading up to the new year, we started this walk, this journey. And literally every day I wrote a devotion to encourage and to uplift the membership. And as I was writing it, the Lord was revealing to me, you know, we're getting to the new year and everybody talks about, you know, 12 o'clock magically. You know, we walk into the new year with these resolutions. And as we go in, we expect that we're going to be successful for the next 365 days with our resolution. And as we all know, resolutions fall by the wayside. And the Spirit revealed to me, he said, and if you want to affect change in your life, it is a process. And 21 days is a period of time unbeknownst to me at that moment where you could develop a habit into actually a life-changing habit. It goes beyond a habit to now you're prepared to make it a lifetime change. And so our idea was to change our hearts and our minds, our attitudes, so that we could start to live holy before God. And then when the new year comes in, wow, you know, we now are in the habit of pursuing Christ, pursuing a holiness. And we should be able to walk into the new year with these new developed skills and talents and just live for God and grow, continue to grow. And it's a beginning process for 21 days. But as we say in our marketing, it's a 21-day journey to a lifetime of spiritual discipline.
Amen. Amen. I mean, I'm encouraged. I was reading some of the chapters I read. I was reading, there was day 15. And when reading it, it's It's in depth. It's let me say this too. I'll say this to folks who are listening. It's different than most devotionals. It's also you can use it honestly. You can use it as your personal Bible study. I mean, you can go in and you can dig into the scripture. You know, we made a proclamation a while back that we was going to stop reading our Bibles and start to study them. And I believe this devotion will help you get to that place. Because when we say, have you read your Bible today, that doesn't necessarily mean anything to folks, because people answer that too quickly. If I ask you, have you studied today, then they take it, they got to think about how they answer you. Amen?
Amen. That's very important.
Very important. So let me ask you one more question, and then bring one of the folk in. We got some folk here who wanted to share. I'm going to bring them in, but I just wanted to touch on one thing or two about you. Because what was some of your influences? Who do you read? You know, I know you're a pastor, and you sat down and did devotional, and you seek to edify the body of Christ. But can you share with your audience, who are some of your favorite Christian authors that you read?
Ministry in and of itself demands that you become a reader. And fortunately for me, reading has always been a part of my life. A confession time. When I was coming up, I was a nerd. I was considered a nerd because I was always reading. And when I was running away from the call of the ministry, a friend of mine suggested Tommy Tenney. And Tommy Tenney just brought to life for me the pursuit of God, just to get into his presence. And if anybody, I could say, started me on the track to where we ended up with the sanctification walk, it would be Tommy Tenney. I love Rick Warren and how he approaches the question of what is the purpose of me as a Christian, what's the purpose of the church, and he's challenged us in those ways. But I also read Chuck Swindoll, Tony Evans. Anybody that's following me on Facebook knows that right now I picked up Tony Evans' ebook, 30 Days of Prayer for Marriage, and that's he challenges everyone to just do great things beyond where they are. And T.D. Jakes is an easy read for me. He, of course, his books are just as inspirational as listening to him preach. Max Lucado, you know, all of those people. And one of the other people that's a standout for me is Joyce Myers. You know, those people have an insight and a grasp for life and for how it's supposed to be lived in accordance with the way God wants us to live. And I find encouragement in some of the works that they do. I find a challenge in some of the things that they do. I even find chastisement in some of the things that they do. And the truth of the matter is, if you want to put what you're getting from an author, in my humble opinion, you want to get something from an author and you want to make sure that they're going to have a lasting impact on your life, they can't just tell you what the good stuff is. They have to challenge you. When we look at the Word of God, whenever a prophecy came forth, God said, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to require you to do this, to put yourself in a position to receive the blessings that you have. And these are consistent writers with that model that I constantly see.
Amen, Pastor. I feel in good company now. Some of them people are on my reading list, and so I know I'm doing something right. Amen. Amen. And I think what you're saying about reading, especially, I believe, this is one of the things that we also talk about issues here, Issues Christian Men's Talk, is that we have to, again, you know, we have to engulf ourselves in the wisdom that's out there. I mean, you know, there's so much knowledge, there's so much understanding from Scripture that we can get from Scripture. And like you said, some of the authors you mentioned, their writings and their teaching is biblically based. That's the first thing. And then the next thing is there's people explain stuff so we can get a better insight to what Scripture is. That's what the whole teaching is. If we truly want to be disciples of Christ, we have that. The body of Christ is here for a reason. And men and women of God are for a reason, and they're putting out this. You said they're being transparent. They're putting out their heart, and they're putting it out there in a book. You know, there was an old saying about folk don't, If you want to hide something from certain folk, you put it in the book. But in the body of Christ, we shouldn't be there. I'm not going to repeat the rest of that because, you know. But anyway, those of you who are old enough know what I'm talking about. Amen. But, you know, we have to. The scripture tells us to study and show ourselves approved, because one of the things we definitely talk about for husbands and fathers, that or any ministry, it starts at home. And the things that your pastor teaches you, it has to come to you, and it's going to come to your wife and your children, because they're looking to you for that leadership. They're looking for you. Your sons are looking for you as role models. Your daughters are looking at you to see if this word is true. So when their times of testing and trouble come, it worked for my dad. It worked for my mom. I'm not saved because of them, because I don't want to clarify that. But I've seen what God can do and what the word of God can do in their lives. So when I have a struggle, I know that God is faithful, and faithful, and God will give me an answer. And it's there, and it's the teaching. Because, again, if this is the thing that we're putting that we so-called sacrifice our life unto, then we should know what it is, and we should walk with boldness in it. But that's just me, and we want to encourage, but we would definitely have to encourage husbands and fathers and men to be the men that God's called them to be, to stand up and be in that place. Because one of the things we do is understand that there's someone out there who's only going to hear the gospel from you, and it may be your children. It may be someone in your family, you know. But if we're not in a place where we can, we'll be able to share the principles, live out the principles, and be able to minister to someone, then are we failing what God created us for, and why God saved us? He didn't save us for ourselves, so we could be all okay. And then for some, you know, I have to say, God didn't save you just so your family can get saved and everybody's okay in your house. We're called to take this gospel to the whole world. Amen?
Amen.
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 Well, let me bring in, we have some folks here. First one I want to bring in, let's see, I believe it's Sister Simmons. Your last four numbers are 0527. Can you hear us, Sister?
Yes, I'm here.
Amen, amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. And feel it a privilege
Thank
and an honor that you that we brought you on Issues Christian Men's Talk, because this is a – no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Good evening.
I'm just kidding.
Good evening, Deacon. Good evening, Pastor.
All right. There you go. Now you feel more comfortable. No, I'm just kidding. But what were you going to share? I know. Tell the audience, are you part of Pastor's congregation, or you just bought the book, or –
I am part of his congregation in spirit. I'm all the way up here in beautiful Camden, New Jersey. Pastor Offer
Camden,
and I have been, yes, yes, beautiful Camden, New Jersey.
Yes, ma'am, I agree.
Thank you. Pastor Offer and I have been brother and sister in Christ for over 30 years now, and I have watched him grow in the Lord and just explode, and this sanctification walk devotional that he has authored has really touched me, and I've to the point where I've been handing it out to friends. I'm getting ready to contact him tonight to order some more copies. For me, I grew up in the Catholic Church, so Bible study is not generic to me. So going into a daily devotional, this one was so, it was like breathing. It was so easy. It was so succinct and so reachable and teachable to everyone on every level. I urge anyone who's listening, get a copy. It will make a difference in your life.
Amen, sister. Well, let me ask you, have you been through the 21 days, the whole, have you completed 21 days?
Yes, sir. I completed the 21 days on the 21st of January.
Oh, my. Okay. All right. Amen. So you started a new year fresh. There you go.
I did.
Amen. Well, did you have a favorite day, chapter, or specific day that stood out?
No specific days. What encouraged me to complete the devotional was, again, the language of all the chapters, which included biblical references, but also included musical references, life references, parenting references, relationship references. It was just so refreshing to read something with the Lord's hand on it that just touched me so much.
Amen, sister. I appreciate you. Pastor Arthur, you want to share anything with sister or ask any questions?
Well, I appreciate, first of all, the type of relationship that Portia and I have had over the years. And she knew me when nobody would have looked at me and thought that God would have used me to write such a book. But I appreciate the words that she said. And one of the things that happened when I wrote the book was, why am I writing this book? And it took me so long to publish it from 2011 to 2016 because I just didn't feel like anybody would want to read it, you know. And to hear Portia's read on it and, you know, other people that are emailing us and letting us know their story, sharing their testimony, is a huge encouragement to me. I'm no different than I was before, you know, but God used me, and I believe that God used me as a vessel, and what's in that book, I believe, is God speaking through, crazy as I am, he used me to do that, and that's tremendous encouragement. Thank you so much, Portia, for the words that you just shared.
Thank you for your work.
And to God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Well, sister, I thank you. We're going to bring you back in later. If you have anything else you want to share, just let us know. I have, Pastor Offer, let me ask you this. Out of all the chapters, I asked the sister that, what chapter or day was most important or influenced you or that you're most passionate about?
Chapter 9. And that's the chapter that talks about my mom and her faith. And, you know, when we released the book, I was interviewed at the release. You know, that chapter's on faith. And the truth of the matter is everything that God has done in my life and has released into me has come from a place of faith. No blessing that I've received so far has come my way without me having to take a leap of faith, whether it's, you know, I'm in a situation or whatever. You know, we've all been there. You know, in my life, I've lost a house. I've lost cars. I've recorded albums that have never been released and spent money to do those things. And, you know, and I've lost people in my life that were very important for me through all of those situations, including my mother, who inspired that chapter. You know, and I look back on my life and every challenge that I've had to faith my way through it. You know how sometimes we say fake it till you make it? I've learned through my mom's example and I realized it later that I have to faith it until I can make it. And I can only make it with God's help. And so that's why it's my favorite chapter and everything hinges on faith.
Amen, sir. I mean, you know, that right there is inspiration because, again, in the body of Christ today, we have to people, you know, we at the point sometimes we want instant. We are instant microwavable church, instant prayer, instant breakthrough, instant break. And it takes faith because, you know, it's God tests us sometimes. He wants us to grow up. And I think that our growth in Christ has to do with long suffering and patience, and that is the faith and that hope, and the thing that we pray for today, especially for men out there. You know, when the man loses hope, it's a terrible thing. Things can start. The enemy will have a foothold right there. He has a foothold where it's going to be hard for that brother to hang on. Because when you lose hope, that if you don't know who God is and what God can do. And know somebody, you know, it's different to just hear about it, but you know what God has done in other folks' life. That's why it's important for us as men of God to be able to share and like you were saying, that just people who know where we came from and people and those who weren't actually there, that we can share our story that I always wasn't like this because, you know, as I always say here at Issues, Sunday morning is not the judge of anybody's character. Everybody's clean and dressed up and got on brand new shiny shoes. So that has nothing to do with the things people have gone through and have withstood. And I think that's the most important thing. Where a man loses hope, it's a terrible thing. I've seen it, and then also I can say that I've seen brothers who've come back from situations that you know other folk have not, and it was because of God. It's because of their faith. It's because they took God at His word. They believed what the word said. And then they had folk around them. They had men and women in the church around them that supported them and continued to pray for them. So that's one of the things we definitely have to be able to mindful of. And I believe this devotional, like the sister shared, there's some of that in there. You'll see that, and it can help you because you never know. Your day 15 might be that day that you need to hear day 15 or day 9 or day 1. The first day you start, it might speak to something in your life right there. And that's what that time with God and devotion is all about. Be able to speak into your life to give you a direction. And so even if you're off course or can't even find the path, that God's word will bring you back there. Amen. 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 You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fowler. We're here with Pastor Jay Offer, and we're talking about his book, The Sanctified Walk. The book's been out, what is it? It's 3 months now, 4 months? It's been out. When was your release date?
Three months. December. December the 1st was when we let it loose. It's almost 4 months.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So, real quick, you share with the audience, those that are listening for the first time, how can they get the book? How can they reach out, contact you?
Go on the web. It's available. It's available at Amazon, Books a Million, and Barnes and Noble. But when you go to those places, it's great if you want to go to those places. But you can also go to my website. When you go to my website, you can pick it up for less than what you can get at Amazon. My website is www.joffer.com, www.joffer.com. Or you can, if your browser doesn't like that, then you can go to offerpenglobal.com. That's offerpenglobal.com. And when you get to the website, the first page, when you land on a homepage, it directs you to where to purchase the book. As a matter of fact, starting at midnight tonight, the price on our website is $17.99. Starting tomorrow at midnight tonight, okay, the price is dropping to $15. And it's selling on Amazon, I think, for $24. So you get a significant savings, and then you just have shipping and handling that's on top of that. So it's come visit us. When you contact us on the website, the other thing that you get, Deacon Farr, is if you're on Facebook, we'll have your information. We'll get we'll have your email address, and we will let you know how to connect with us on Facebook and to get the Sanctification Walk newsletter. And the very first newsletter is actually done. It's gone through copy editing, and it is about ready to be released also. So that's going to be coming out to everybody who's on our mailing list. We have your email address. You'll be receiving that, and that comes out every other month. And what that does is it gives you thoughts and pieces to help you as you continue. Just like Portia says, she finished in January. Now she'll have the newsletter to continue to help mentor her through the process of her daily walk, seeking God. And Facebook, the Sanctification Walk, does the same thing, lets you know what's going on with the Sanctification Walk and subsequent events and happenings related to this. This isn't just a book. This is a lifestyle change and a new beginning for a lot of us.
Amen, sir. That's it. That's a key point. It's a beginning. It's a beginning because, again, as our sanctification, it begins somewhere. There's a process to get to where God can use us, where God wants us to be, where God wants our families to be, and it starts in the beginning. And I believe this book is part of that process. Amen.
Amen.
We have someone here who also wants to share. I believe it's Sister Purcell. Your last four numbers are 0567. Can you hear me?
Hi, this is Jane Purcell.
Yes, how are you?
Amen.
Welcome to Issues Christian Men's Talk.
Amen.
Would you like to share about the Sanctify Walk?
Yes, I was just listening to Pastor Offer talk about Chapter 9. I enjoy that chapter because it did talk a lot about his mother and the struggles that she went through, and in spite of what she went through, you know, she believed in Christ than who she was, in spite of what people said she was or what the doctor said she had. It carried her through, and it talked about her strengths, her weaknesses, and what he's learned in the process. So out of the whole book, that is my favorite, because it tells a lot about her willingness to continue in Christ.
Amen, amen. Pastor Arthur, you want to share? Can I ask her anything?
That's Sister Purcell, that's just a blessing. Not only that, you know, my mom passed away quite a while ago, but to hear that her story is finally being told and touching lives, it's like breathing life into her ministry. People used to go visit her in the hospital where she was. She was in the hospital for 20 years, and they would go there to encourage her. And when they left, she had encouraged them. And I thank God that through Chapter 9, she is still encouraging people. You know, she may be gone on the glory, resting, waiting for the Savior's return, but her ministry still lives on in that chapter. And thank you for saying so, Sister Purcell.
You're welcome.
Amen, amen. And thank you, Sister, for joining us tonight. And welcome to Issues Christian Men's Talk. That's awful. Let me ask you, I'm gonna come back to you. When you first sat down to write the book, and because you say it took you 5 years to get it from the beginning to now, who were you writing it for? What was the specific audience that you were trying to reach? When you first had the unction to do this, was there someone on your mind or on your heart that you wanted to write this for? Who would that be?
Well, I wrote it for the Harvest family. Shout out to Harvest. Hey, Harvest. my church family, first of all, they know I'm crazy. They crazy. And we just crazy in love with the Lord. And when we started out, you know, when Harvest started, Harvest was a street ministry for 2 years. We didn't go out looking for people who have been on the missionary board, who've been deacons and all that stuff. We went looking for people who were looking for Christ, but nobody had come to bring them the Lifeline. And so when the people came to Harvest, they pretty much were, you know, they're not churchy people, and they would come, you know, on Sunday, and they would leave, and that was their idea of a lot of them. It was their idea of a good commitment to serving God. And what the Lord revealed to me was they need something to grasp onto so they can begin to understand that their Christian walk isn't just Sunday and in corporate worship. Their worship is 24/7. You know, God is a 24/7 God, constantly working on our behalf, and they need to understand who He is, who they are, and their obligation to Him. And that's who I wrote it for. I wrote it for my church family because I love them so much. You know, like I wanted them to know about this. This is what, you know, makes Pastor Offer, you know, and some call me Pastor Jay. I got one member now that calls me her Pastor Homie. You know, whatever you want to call me, you know, I wrote this to you so that you would be able to come into a place where you can give yourself over to the Lord in worship, shaping your life after Christ, and to know it ain't that hard. It's easy. All we got to do is just be real with what's going on. And once we get to be real and deal with people on the level where they are, you know, we can explain it. I think Portia said it real well. You know, it's like we have references to music, pop culture, you know, all kinds of things. Because, you know, and it, in retrospect, you know, I'm not a trained writer or anything, but in retrospect, those are the things that will connect. And every time that I wrote a devotional, how can I connect with the people that I'm writing to?
Amen. I'm here. I was having that problem you had before, brother. The buttons wasn't buttoned. But anyway. Amen.
I would have jumped back in there and started hosting if I had to. Yeah.
Okay, well, good. That's what you got to do, you know. That's what you got to do. Sometimes you just got to fill in. Yeah, I know. You preach. What happened? You know. You can fill in. It's good. We're talking about your book. You should know all the answers. Amen. Amen. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're on every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Again, you can listen to this broadcast, the rebroadcast of this, and archive of all our shows by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can also reach us on Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. You can get the link there. You can also, the link is, should be up. If not, it will be up, where you can get to Pastor Offer's website and link to get the book, get the devotional. And we pray that, this, again, you know, these are the things that we have to do to grow ourselves in the Word of God. I like what you said about you had to give them something more than Sunday. There's two things I want to come go back to what you touched on, because you touched on some of the things that is my I don't say my passion, not my pet peeves, that, you know, that this Christian walk, this faith, it's a life. It's a change of life. It's a conversion of the heart. And it's more than that 2-3 hours on Sunday. And a lot of folk, like you say, are in that place where if they punched in their spiritual time clock, they think it's all okay. They're okay. They're going to heaven and they're pleasing God. And you know, they get stuck and they end up with that, I never knew you and depart from me. So only my biblical scholars know where that's at. But anyway, you know, and that's one of the things I when you said that was something that touched my heart. And that's where we have to be, in a place. We have to, as leaders, as men of God, and even in our families, you know, our children. We take our children to church. We go to church and we turn them over. Well, I'll be careful when I say this. We have them participating in a lot of the things of the church, but are we sure and secure about their salvation as their fathers? And that's one of the things I remember a couple of years back, it was at a men's group, and one of the things that the brother told me, the brother was about 60 years old, and he had, you know, his kids, he was in the church, and his family was in the church, and he was a first-generation Christian. And one of his regrets was that he turned over his children's faith to the youth department. And then it showed up later that they didn't have that, whatever, they didn't have the connection. A lot of people call it the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have a real connection to their faith, and he regretted that. They finally came to the understanding later. You know, he realized from some of the things, and after he talked to them, that he turned it over. He trusted the youth department, but it really didn't connect for them for whatever reason. And that's one of the things as fathers that, you know, when we talk about, it's more than just Sunday, that it's a conversion of the heart. And as husbands and fathers, we're responsible for our families in their faith. And are we, how you say it, I'll say it this way, are we checking their oil for those that God is going to hold us accountable for? What do you say, Pastor?
Yeah, so you got to be vigilant. You must be vigilant. And that's one of the things that, you know, that I hope that people understand from the sanctification walk is that vigilance and paying attention to, you know, your habits and how they affect the habits of those that are around you, especially when you're talking about fatherhood. Obviously, your boys, your girls, they watch you all the time. They want to see what you're doing. And they see when you fall. They see when you get back up. What's interesting is, you know, when you fall, it's not so bad that a parent makes an error, makes a mistake, but the child is looking to see how you're getting back up. And when we teach them how to do that, then we begin to understand God's God's forgiveness and our persistence to continue to go after that goal.
Amen, sir. And then your other part was you called it out because you said we didn't go looking for folk who was quote-unquote already saved. We went out in the highways and byways and compelled some folk. And that's the other thing, evangelism. Let me share this. I do a radio show. I do the media. I know churches who do live stream. I know churches who got television programs. But there's still a call to go out in the highways and byways and physically connect with people and share the gospel with them and go to reach those, you know, and we have to be, and I think that is the mindset we all need, and especially for, again, men. There's a man out there who already has a vision or has a pre-proposed what it looks like to be a man of God, what it means to be a brother in church. And some of it is not good. Yeah. Some of it's not good. Some of it, they don't be bothered. They've seen all kinds of stuff, but they need to see authentic men of God and be able to talk and have conversations. And that's one of the things that it's important for us as men of God. And we're at a certain point, now that there is training, there's a being sanctified, but are we doing and going and reaching the lives of people, unsaved people? You know, it's not moving folk around. It's going and reaching the lost. And that's one of the things that, and again, if we're dealing with, you know, brother that's coming out of strip clubs, bars, whatever, he's gambling, he's at the casino, he's doing his thing. Are we going to share Christ with them in a way that's going to connect them? Not come to them as judgmental, come to them like we're better than them, but are we doing it in the love of God to let them know that they're on the right path and it's a better way? And I think what you were saying about your went out and to reach folk and to be able to, you know, and even in the devotional, references to pop culture. You know, some churches, we pop culture, we don't want to talk about it because we don't recognize it. We don't give it no whatever you want to call it, but I'm not going to go there right now. But, you know, we have to connect. We have to connect with people in real life because there's choices because the stuff is out there. And if this is where you can relate to them, we have to be wise enough to be able to bring the godly principles in and be able to speak about the gospel and what it means to be a Christian. But again, it takes the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, and it takes a sanctified walk to be able to get to that place. Because evangelism sometimes is not easy, and a lot of people shy away from it because they're afraid to be asked a question they can't answer. And that's one thing I learned years ago that, you know, evangelism doesn't mean you know all the answers, but you have all the answers. So if we get there, if we get to that place, we might be able to reach someone for Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor, we have another caller. They called in. They want to share. Let me see if we can get them in here because everything still seems like it's working. I'm doing good. Praise the Lord. Your last four numbers are 4945. Can you hear me? Praise the Lord.
God bless you, Deacon Farr. God bless you, Pastor Offer. How are you guys doing? This is Brother Boone, Covenant Life House Ministry, coming out of choir.
Hey, all is well, Boone.
Thank the Lord. Hey,
amen.
Pastor Offer,
welcome, brother.
Pastor Offer, that's the book that you're speaking of. I'd like to know, do you visit other organizations or other places to speak about your book? Or are you out there for that offer if needed?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we make ourselves available in a couple of different formats. We come for a book signing. We can do a book signing also as a fundraiser for the church. I can come do a one-time presentation, you know, as a keynote speaker. I even, you know, there's 20. I broke it down. There's at least 21 templates for sermons in this book. And, you know, a preacher can look at a chapter and they can find three or four sermons in each one. So,
amen.
You know, I'm available to come and to either keynote at an event or to actually preach. I don't mind coming to what I've been getting a lot of invitations to do is to come to Bible studies and to talk about the sanctification walk and, you know, inspire a conversation about it. And you could talk for hours about the principles that are in this book. But just to, you know, break it down just for a little bit about the importance. And then, you know, a lot of guys already have the book, or they will order them when they're there. You know, so we're able to do all kinds of things, and we're willing to come out and to share and engage. Because the book itself is the door opener. What we hope to achieve from it is for a conversation to occur in the entire body of Christ. You know, how can we live better for Christ and fulfill our obligations to Him? So we're certainly open to any kind of opportunities that anyone would have to, you know, for us to come in and to share. I love face to face interaction. Technology is great sometimes, Deacon Farr, but I like face to face encounters because I don't have to worry about whether or not the phone's going through right or the broadcast is going out. So.
Okay, really, brother.
So
really?
I do have your information at www.joffer.com.
Yes.
Okay. All your information is there. Phone number, contact.
Oh, everything. There are places where you could get on our mailing list, and we can keep in contact with you. There's a section on there where it says, you know, book me for an appearance or what have you. And not that I'm a celebrity. I'm a laborer for Christ. Okay. I just want to be very clear. If you look on the website and you see book Jay Offer to come to your church, you know, you ain't getting a celebrity. You're just getting a messenger.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So you're saying you don't have an entourage and you don't need never mind, I'm sorry.
Brother, when I started ministry, man, I preach and it's just me and my wife. You know, I'm not so
oh,
I don't
you
have
go. That's what you need.
That's
there you
all
go.
I
you
need.
And your
with
wife
two or three.
You go.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
I know
your wife drives. Does your wife drive?
She does, but I drive her wherever I gotta go.
Oh really? Oh, okay, so
yeah.
So you don't even take a break. You don't even let her drive you. Man, come on, man.
I open the door for her. I close the door for her. Dear, where do you want me to take you? So.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm serious about that stuff.
No. I'm with you, bro. Because my wife don't drive me nowhere either. I keep asking her, but you know, she say, "Well, I got to drive," and then I say, "You know what? Let's go, because if we had this conversation, we'll be late." No, I'm just kidding. I love my wife. Amen. You're the issue Christian Men's Talk. Deacon Thomas Paul, Pastor Jay Offer, and we're sharing some insights. We have some folk here sharing some insights for his new book, Sanctified Walk. He said you can get it on his website. You can go on Facebook. You can go on Amazon. But he has a special deal coming up here at midnight. And it's just $15 as compared to $24 on Amazon. So we encourage you to go on his website. What's the website again, sir?
JOffer.com or OfferPenGlobal.com. You going to put those links up for
amen.
Me so they can get them? Amen.
Yes, sir. I got them. I'm hoping those people who are listening so they can go right now. I mean, you know, they're listening. They got smartphones. They can talk, listen, and go on the web and order all at the same time.
Yeah.
They got nice phones out there nowadays. Amen. Let me see who we have here. Amen. Well, Pastor, I appreciate you for coming. You know, I've read segments of the book. I still got to catch up with this other brother. You know what I'm talking about, because he has my book, but I can't catch him. But when I catch him, I'm going to have the book. And we went through the first 21 days. And matter of fact, let's see, how many days is it to Easter? Easter is on the 16th. Today's the 16th. So you have time to get the book and start it and be done by the time Resurrection Sunday gets here. So we encourage
That's
you to get
correct.
The book. Start it. Do you have some insights? Do you have some something will touch and encourage your heart, and be able to just to help you grow to the next level. I think the biggest thing, you know, about the book and talking to the pastor is that we all, as a sanctification, it talks about that. That's our growth. That's opportunity for us to grow. because God has a plan for our lives. God is a purpose. There's things that we're going to be able to, in this Christian walk, that God's preparing for us to deal with. It can be a lot of things. It can be sickness in our families. It can be situations. It can be the trials and testings in our personal life. But if we have a hope in God, if we are mature in the faith, and we know that God has a plan and a purpose, everything that happens is for a reason, and that we can sustain it with, and our faith can keep us, and our hope that God is in control is what's going to keep us through. Because, you know, we have folk out here committing suicide, people who drink, people on drugs, because there's something that happened to them they couldn't handle, didn't want to handle, or running away from. But as the body of Christ, our faith is our anchor, that no matter what goes on, you know, it sounds cliche, but the things that happen in our life, the storms, the trials, our hope and our faith is what keeps us and sustains us, because it's going to get better. That's one of the things I remember as a child. My mother used to tell me all the time, with issues going through some things, it's going to be better. Although it's not going to be like this always. I won't say better, but it's not going to be like this. There's going to be an outcome. And for my faith community folk, you know, we're going through some stuff, but on the other side, we're going to be different, or the circumstance is going to be different. So we have to be in a place where we let God stretch us and test us, that we can be stronger and we can be His witness in this world. Because the stuff we go through, it may not all be about us, but there could be someone else that we down the road we'd be able to minister to because we survived it. And that's to encourage someone in their walk. So we need to be, you know, watchmen on the wall. We need to be able to stand up and say, you know, I've been through this, and God did this for me. You know, He can do it for you. We're building ourselves up. You know, I go back to what you said, that punching that spiritual clock on Sunday is not going to be enough when life comes at you full force. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Real quick, I want to go back to Sister Purcell or Sister Simmons, anything you want to share before we are closing up here, coming up to the end of the show? Anything additional you wanted to share or say to Pastor?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much. Sister Simmons? All right. This is radio. I can't see you. You have to say no. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. But, Pastor, let me say this to you. We're coming up to the close here. One thing I want to give opportunity because, again, there's folk who, all kinds of folk listening. We post on Facebook, and people might have tuned in and be interested to hear. And could you just share, you know, the gospel? What the gospel 101, I call it. And for those who may not know or don't know, what must they do to be saved, to come into the family, into the fellowship of Jesus Christ, and know that their eternal destiny is secure? What must they do, sir?
I was sharing with a brother today when we were out and about. We were in a shopping center, and I ran into a guy. And for those of you prayer warriors, I want you to just lift the name Gary up. Gary's been living life, and life has been living him, if you know what I mean. And as I was talking to him, I asked him that same question, you know, are you saved? And the truth of the matter is people don't understand what saved is. You know, it's a little word that we use, and that's what us churchy people say. But for those that don't know Christ for themselves but maybe listening, trying to figure out what's going on with this thing, let me explain to you. The Word of God says it this way, that it is appointed to man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Now, if you want social proof of that statement and to go beyond the pages of the Bible, I would challenge you that as you drive down the road, look over to the cemeteries, and every one of those markers, every one of those flower pots that you see dotting the landscape of a cemetery, all of those memorials are to people who have died and left this earth. And when we leave here, there's going to be a judgment. A judgment for what, preacher? What are you talking about? Well, if we go to the book of Romans, which I like to use to encapsulate the gospel, first, before we go there, let me stop off in John 3:16. A lot of people know these words. It says, for God so loved the world. He loved us, right? He loved the world
that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The whosoever is a generic address that is given. When we get mail at home, sometimes we get things with an offer that will not have our name on it but will say resident, meaning the person who resides at this location. And so the word of God says whosoever. That means it's a blanket offer that whosoever believes in Jesus Christ, believes that he is part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that it is that portion of God wrapped in flesh that came down for the purpose of offering himself up for our sins, that he died on a cross, and that he was buried in a grave, and that he rose again. Martin Luther King did a great work, but when they assassinated him, his remains are now entombed, and he has not risen again. Kennedy is revered as a great president, but when he was assassinated, his remains were entombed, and he has not risen again. Gandhi is a great man that we look back on in history about activism for humanity. When Gandhi died, his remains did not get up and leave, but Jesus Christ did die, and he did rise again. And when he did that, what he did was seal a new covenant in his blood between God and man. Now, this is where we're going to go back to Romans. Romans in the third chapter makes two dynamic declarations. First of all, it says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means that not one of us has been able to live up to God's standard of what he wants us to live. We should be sinless. The Bible says that God had declared that he is holy, therefore we must be holy. I want you to know, if you look back at your life, just like I look back at my life, Jay hasn't always been holy. And sometimes I'll tell you, Jay hasn't been holy in the last week or two. But what God has done is he's made a way. It also says that there's none righteous, no, not one. We all sometimes are self-righteous and think that our way is the best, that we are together with all this and a bag of chips. But I'm here to tell you, our righteousness is a flawed righteousness, but God's righteousness is a perfect righteousness. Through God's perfect and holy will, we have the opportunity to stand before him as righteous creatures, not because of anything we did, but because of what Jesus did. For it said, the wages of sin is death. Sin is anything that's against God. So in order for atonement for sin to occur, something has to die. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, an animal died because the Bible tells us that they put on animal skins. So the animal didn't give up his skin and walk away happy-go-lucky. The animal had to die, and so as the result of the sin. And so something has to die. Either we have to die or some sacrifice must be made. And so the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember what I said before, excuse me, about John 3:16. Jesus died for our sins. He shed the blood that needed to be shed to cover all of our sins. He died for the sins of those that died in a hope that he was coming, and he died for the sins of those that were there with him and the sins of those of us who are now waiting in hope for his return. Jesus paid it all. And so when we look at that, we're like, well, how does that work? Well, when we stand before God, and we will stand before God, then have to give an account for everything that we have done. But when we get there, all of the mess that we've gone through, all of the bad relationships, all of the drugs we've shot into our veins, all of the alcohol that we've drank, all of the people that we robbed, all of the people that we banked just to bank them, you know, because we didn't like them. A friend of mine posted on Facebook today, why would you go up and slap somebody? The answer was just because they were there. And all of that mess that we have done in our lives that we were big and bad enough to do, we're going to have an account for it. The difference is that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you stand before the judgment, God is not going to be able to see anything that you have done. Because as a songwriter put it one time, the blood of Jesus Christ is going to cover the screen. And one thing God chooses not to do is to see beyond the blood. So as Jesus has died for our sins, we have an opportunity to live forever, because the Bible tells us that those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, those who have not put on the righteousness of Christ, those who have not professed him, will be thrown into the lake of fire, where Satan himself will be thrown and he will be destroyed as well. Now, what I'm thinking in my life, and I was sitting down and reflecting on me, given the chance of having eternal life versus total damnation, I choose life. And I tell people all the time, do you want to live forever? This body's not going to live forever, but my soul is going to live forever. And what I need to understand is whether it's going to live in the presence of the Lord and be a part of a congregation where we sing and praise and giving God the glory and really being in the purpose that God created us for, which is worshiping him, or being cast out of God's sight and thrown into a lake of fire. So what I want to share with anybody who is listening, if you have not made the decision to give your life to Christ, if you have not made the decision to yield and put a stop to the pain and the suffering that you're going through without any hope, stop for a moment and consider that Jesus gave his all on Calvary. And he gave his all on Calvary so that when we go through this life here on earth, whatever trial and tribulation we have, that we can go through it in hope, hope that Jesus is going to come back. The Bible says that when Jesus returns, the trumpet's going to sound, and first the dead in Christ shall rise. All of those markers that we talked about when I first started, all of those people who died in hope are going to be caught up in the sky to meet him. And then all of us who are still walking on the face of the earth that have professed Jesus Christ as our personal Savior will be caught up. And those that are left behind will have to suffer the consequences of their lack of a decision. And actually, when you make a decision not to accept Christ as your personal Savior, after you've heard the gospel, you are making a decision. And the decision is to turn away from God. But if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your decision is for Christ and is for life. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ with thy mouth and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Real world talk, you accept Jesus Christ, you'll be spared the judgment and be able to live in heaven with God and our Savior forevermore.
Amen, sir. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking time and coming on the show. And we're praying for the book to go and touch lives and change people and motivate to continue to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We invite you to join us again every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Also, go into our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can inbox us there. We invite you to come out and join us. Also, you can see updates for upcoming men's events in your area. If you have a men's event coming up, a men's ministry gathering or teaching or anything, give us a call, post it. We encourage you to post those events so men can get out and fellowship with one another. Again, Pastor, thank you very much, sir, and we'll be in touch. And continue to do what you're doing. And I pray for you and you pray for me. Amen.
God bless you. Amen.
God bless you, sir. And good night.
God bless you.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app.